Blog Talk Radio.
Blessed are you, Yahweh, Almighty One, King of the universe, who has chosen good prophets and was pleased with their words that were uttered with truth. Blessed are you, Yahweh, who chooses the Torah, Moshe, his servant, Israel, his nation, and the prophets of truth and righteousness. Hallelujah. 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 Aviyah, in the name of our son, Yahushua HaMashiach, our Savior, our Redeemer, our soon-coming King. We thank you for this day. We thank you for the gift of life. We ask that you forgive us for our sins and that you hear our prayers. Father, once again, thank you for the gift of life. Thank you for the Shabbat. Thank you for this time that you have set apart for us to commune, Father, to learn from you and come before you. Father, we ask that you continue to protect us mentally, physically, emotionally, spiritually, Father. We ask that you keep your hedge about us, Father. We ask that, Father, when it's time for our testing, that you give us the strength and the knowledge and the understanding to overcome any obstacles of the devil, Father. We ask that you continue to protect our Zakins, our Zakinas, protect them, anyone who's ailing physically or spiritually, emotionally, Father. Hedge up our children, Father. Keep us in the court with you, Father. When we go to the left and to the right, chastise us. Bring us back to your path, Father. Bless everyone of Israel who has come to give you glory and honor this day, Father, on your Shabbat. Open up our minds and our hearts to your word, Father. Plant this word on fertile ground, Father. Cultivate it and turn us into the men and women that you desire. In Yahushua's name, we just give you praise, honor, and glory on this day. Hallelujah. Amen. Shabbat Shalom, family. This is your brother, Deuel. And this is Magnify the Torah, to make it honorable. Hope everyone had a good week. And if you didn't, it's the Shabbat. So today we're going to be talking about the simplicity of the word. And I've really put something on my mind when he gave me this, because this was actually something I was going to speak about way back when, but he showed me the simplicity of the word back when it was time for me to teach at Enoch, and I was having difficulties with Enoch. So he actually showed me how simple the word is that when we can't throw the baby out with the bathwater. But then I was like, okay, I didn't erase this off of my notes. Because normally when Abba give me a lesson, after I'm done with the lesson, I erase it and really allow Abba to bring back the things that he want me to understand from everything. So I erase it. And whatever Abba want me to remember, he wants me to remember, use again, yada, yada, yada. But I never erased it. erase this one. But he showed me the simplicity of the word in another way. So let's just get to the lesson. And we're going to start off in 2 Corinthians chapter 11, verses 1 through 4. This is our brother Paul writing. He says, 2 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 1, it says, "Would to Elohim you could bear with me a little in my folly, and indeed bear with me. For I am jealous over you with godly jealousy. For I have espoused you to one husband, that I may present you as a chaste virgin to Messiah. But I fear, lest by any means, as the serpent beguiled Eve through his subtlety, so your mind should be corrupted from the simplicity that is in Messiah. For if he that cometh preaches another Yahushua, whom you have not preached, or if you receive another spirit which you have not received, or another gospel which you have not accepted, ye might well bear with them." So, again, focusing on how Satan deceived Eve. And how did he deceive Eve? He took the simplicity. And when you look up this word simplicity, and our brother Harbell actually touched on the lesson and that's how I knew it was Yahweh, because he confirms so quickly. He actually touched on our lesson in our group me. You know, he actually touched on the lesson. But the word simplicity, in the Greek, number 572, this word is haplates, and it means singleness. That is sincerity, or without self-seeking, generosity, copious, objectively genuous, but it means singleness. So if you're single-minded, this is your focus. You have this one thing when it talks about singleness. All right? When you talk about the simplicity, there is no, for lack of a better term, there's no options, so to speak. Right? When the word says you must be saved by let me go to it. I gotta find it. Because there's no name under heaven that men must be saved by. No other name under heaven. Let me find this. Acts 4:12. It says, Neither is there salvation in any other, for there is none other name under heaven given under men whereby we must be saved. See, the word must takes away options. The name Yahushua is the name you have to be saved by. If you want salvation from the God of heaven, the God of Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, the God that promised salvation, right? You have to get it through his son. There's no other way. So when you arguing about this name and saying that Jesus is acceptable, this, that, and another is acceptable, God has many names, and this, that, and another, according to the apostles and according to Acts, right, the acts that the apostles did, they went out and told the people that you must be saved by this one name, They didn't give you a whole list of names, right? They gave you one single name, right? Not complicated. So, taking this back to Eve. What happened with Eve that caused her to be deceived? How did her mind get, and the word says, her mind got corrupted from the simplicity or the singleness of Yahweh? Let's go back to the garden. And what we're going to do is compare Genesis 2:17 versus Genesis 3:3. And this is something that we've done before. All right. Now, Genesis 2:17, this is Yahweh talking. And what he said is, but of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, thou shalt not eat of it. For in the day thou eatest thereof, thou shalt surely die. Now, in the Hebrew, it reads, Umaetz hada'at tov vara lo takal mimenu lo takal mimenu. So the rest of it is about in the days that you'll eat it, you'll die. So that's what he said about eating from this tree, right? You can eat from every tree, but this particular tree, don't eat of it. Now, when we go to Genesis 3:3, it reads, but of the fruit of the tree, which is in the midst of the garden, Elohim have said, you shall not eat of it, neither shall ye touch it, lest ye die. And in the Hebrew, that reads, Elohim have said, okay. Amar Elohim lo tekelu mini lo ve tegigu. So, two words were added. This word lo, which means not, and tegigu, which means touch. Two words were added to what Yahweh said, and it corrupted the mind of Eve. From two words. Now think about all these men out here who are adding whole sentences, whole doctrines, whole this, that, and another to the word. What's happening to the minds of the people? Why is it we can't gain the understanding that we're searching for? Because men are doing exactly what the word say not do. Don't add to my word, don't take from my word, which is exactly what we're talking about. This is one of the ways that men are corrupting the minds, and it takes you away from the simplicity of the word. Something that I experienced, you know, like I said, because I was having issues with Enoch, you know. The word says this and supported it, but because of other doctrines and other things that were out there, I allowed that to corrupt my mind from the singleness or the simplicity of what Yahweh said. It happens, you know. It happens. Because sometimes we get the thinking that we know something. Again, lean not to our own understanding. Direct your path and always show Yahweh, and he'll direct your path. Honor Yahweh, and he'll direct your path. He's going to do it, you know. But sometimes we get to think we're knowing something, and okay, it's this and it's this, and then it's this and it's this. Ooh, it's this and this, not knowing that Satan has slipped something in there. Not knowing that Satan then then dripped a little bit of strychnine, as my brother say. He dripped a little strychnine in there. And now you're corrupted. And you can't see the singleness or the simplicity of the word. Right? So now, those two words then took Eve on a journey. Took a while on the journey. Now, how did her mind get corrupted? And this is stuff that we already know, but let's look at it anyway. Look at Genesis 2:9 versus Genesis 3:6. Right? Genesis 2:9 reads, "And out of the ground made Yahweh Elohim to grow every tree that is pleasant in the sight and good for food, the tree of life also in the midst of the garden, and the tree of knowledge of good and evil." Genesis 3:6 says, "And when the woman saw that the tree was good for food, and that it was pleasant to the eye, and a tree to be desired to make one wise, she took of the fruit thereof, and did eat, and gave also unto her husband with her, and he did eat." So now, she already saw pleasant trees. She already saw that it was good for food. All these trees was already that, right? But now her mind is in a corrupt state, and the way it got corrupted, because now something has been added to her mind that took her away, because the verse before that seed was planted with Hasatan, and he says, nah. The verse before that, it says, "Elohim doth know that in the day ye eat thereof, then your eyes shall be open, and you shall be as gods, knowing good and evil." So the seed was planted, and it was corrupted. It corrupted her mind away from what Yahweh said. And now her desires is now to gain this knowledge. We don't know who added the whole touching part, those two words that were added. We don't know how it got there, but it got there. And just by adding those two words, right, it corrupted her mind and drove her away from the Most High. It takes you away from the Most High. So now we're in the state that, as our brother said, where the communication is different, where we talk differently, the relationship has changed. All because of two words. And that was back then. Look at the doctrines that's going around now. Men saying Satan is laying with women and making babies. The moon is doing this, that, and another. And it's going opposite the way that Yahweh say. Look at all the doctrines that's going around now. As the my brother said, we have to unlearn it. You know? Things have been said over the years. There were Bible misquotes. You know, one of the things that Elder Russell passed away. One of the best things that he did is when our brother was speaking, and he said, "Yeah, resist the devil, and he'll flee from you." He said, wait a minute, there's another part to it. You skipped the part. He said, "Submit yourself unto Yahweh, and then you resist the devil." Totally right. Totally right. You know, because sometimes in our zeal, and that's one of the things I love about Shabbat, I'm going to read this in your hearing. When we misquote something, is that diminishing from the word? You know, because we go back and read it and everything, but the word says don't add to Don't take away from. Don't add to. Don't diminish. Let's look at that. Devarim 4:2. And this reads, you shall not add unto the word which I command you, neither shall you diminish up from it, that you may keep the commandment of Yahweh, your mighty one, which I command you. Now, sometimes, you know, we get the gist of it and everything, but I've seen this been a habit of us, and which is a really good habit that we've been doing lately, is instead of us trying to say, well, this, that, and another, no, let's just go in the word and find it, you know, and find out exactly what it says, you know, because that way it can't be no misquote. And we'll get the, and a lot of times we end up reading a verse before or a couple verses before and a couple verses after to get the whole picture. Because we might be focusing on one part, but then as you keep reading, Abba opens up your understanding to some other things, and he connects, makes these connections for you, you know? Whereas some people might focus on this one area or on this one part, misquote something. That's a very important part that we miss, you know, that we have to submit ourselves to the Most High first before we can resist the devil, you know? Because when you think about what happened in the book of Acts, right? I cast you out in the name of Paul's God. Hold up. Paul, I know. Yahushua, I know. Who are you? And that demon whipped his butt. Matter of fact, let's go look at that. If anybody knows exactly where that is, can y'all text me? Shoot me a text. And I don't know the exact words for that. I'm looking for the verse in Acts where the gentleman was exercising, trying to kill out the demon. And he said, I cast you out in the name of Paul's God. And he says, Paul I know, Yahushua I know, but who are you? Oh, here it is, Acts chapter 19. Acts chapter 19, we're going to, yep, told I. We're going to start at verse 13. Acts chapter 19, verse 13. And it says, then certain of the vagabond Jews, exorcists, took upon them to call over them which had evil spirits, the name of the master Yahushua, saying, we abjure you by Yahushua, who Paul preaches. And there were seven sons of one Sceva, a Jew, and chief of the priests, which did so. And the evil spirit answered and said, Yahushua I know, and Paul I know, but who are you? And the man in whom the evil spirit was leapt on them and overcame them and prevailed against them. So they had fled out their house naked and wounded. Why? Because, one, they didn't submit themselves. They couldn't submit themselves to Yahweh. They couldn't submit themselves to Yahushua. They didn't know him. So they're trying to cast out a demon in the name of a God that Paul preaches. But they didn't know him. So the first step that the writer, I can't remember who wrote, I think it might have been James. He said, submit yourself. Submit yourself to Yahushua. Submit yourself unto the master. Then you resist the devil. So they was trying to resist the devil, but they skipped a step. And what happened with them? He got beat up and naked, right? That demon overcame him, right? So again, that's one of the things we have to do. Don't add to, don't take away from. Right? It corrupts the mind, because that's what happened with Eve. And that's what Yahweh is showing us. When we add to, when we take away from, it corrupts our mind. It takes us away from the simplicity that Yahweh has established. Right? The book of Matthew, chapter 15, verses 1 through 9. Right. Yahushua is going to give us a great example of this. Exactly what he's saying. There's James 4:7. Told Aki, this house mark, submitting yourself unto. By hitting me up now, I love this. Alright. Told all preface, told I. Alright. Matthew 15, Yahushua is going to give us a great example of exactly what he's talking about, taking away and adding to, right? So Matthew chapter 15, starting at verse 1, right? He says, then came to Yahushua scribes and Pharisees, which were of Jerusalem, saying, why do your disciples transgress the tradition of the elders? For they wash not their hands when they eat bread. But he answered and said unto them, why do you also transgress the commandment of Elohim by your traditions? So the Pharisees come to them with an issue that the disciples are doing, not washing their hands. You're not listening to what the elders said. Yahushua says, okay, fine. What the elders are saying is transgressing what Yahweh is saying. So you have point, counterpoint. Here's my point. Here's the point that I'm making. Yahushua is still speaking, right? He says, verse 4, for Elohim commanded, saying, honor your father and your mother, and he that curses father or mother, let him die to death. But you say, whosoever shall say to his father or his mother, it is a gift, by whatsoever thou mightest be profited by me, and honor not his father or his mother, he shall be free. Thus have you made the commandment of Elohim of none effect, by your traditions. So, we all know this. Father, mother, get older, you're supposed to take care of them. That's honoring your father and your mother. They took care of you when you was young, you take care of them when they get older. As my brother say, fair exchange and no robber. You say, the elders are saying, look, whatever it is that you're going to give them, give it to us as a gift. And you're free from taking care of your father and your mother. You ain't got to do that. Yahushua says, by them doing that, you have now just transgressed the commandments. Why transgress the commandment? Why the option was not there to do that? you added to the word. The elders added to the word. Now, you have all these men and these women giving the gift that should go to father and mother. And they're saying they're free of it, but they're transgressing what Yahweh said. They're breaking the command. And this command was in the 10 that he gave from the beginning. Honor your father and your mother. So you're breaking this command by listening to the elders. They're causing you to sin. They have taken you away from what Yahweh said. Now remember, Eve got took away by two words. This is like a whole nother line of thinking. This is a whole nother line of thought. This is a whole nother thought process. Think about all the thought processes that are in the world today that takes people away from this. Yahweh created the heaven. Yahweh created the sun, the moon, the stars to give light to the earth. That's their purpose. That is their function. That's what they do. Why are you trying to go outside of the earth to another place to live on other planets, colonize other stars, because that's what they are, they're stars. Colonize another star that's designed to give light to the earth. What's the point? So, verse 6, it says, and honor not his father or his mother, he shall be free. That's how you made the commandment of Elohim of none effect by your tradition. Now, if you look up the word for none effect in the Greek section, number 208, this word is akaru, oruo, and it means to invalidate, right? It comes from, it's a compound word, is a, which means not. And then they'll have the word koruo. Koruo is number 2964. That means to validate. Whenever you have the I in front of it, the I sound, it means not. So you're saying not valid. In other words, I ain't got to do this. I'm not under the law. That's what you're saying. I don't have to follow the law. Our mind has been corrupt because of this thought process. Yep. It was just taken away. It's been led astray. Right? Verse 7, it says, ye hypocrites, well did Yeshaya prophesy of you, saying, this people draweth nigh unto me with their mouth, and honoreth me with their lips, but their heart is far from me. But in vain they teach worship me, but in vain they do worship me, teaching for doctrines the commandments of men. And that's what's happening. How has it become the commandments of men? They add to the word, they take from the word. Once you do that, that's no longer Yahweh's word. That's not his command. It's not. It now has become a commandment of men. Isaiah 60 and 2. We'll start at verse 1. Isaiah 60:1, it says, "Arise, shine, for thy light is come, and the glory of Yahweh is risen upon thee. For behold, the darkness shall cover the earth, and gross darkness the people. But Yahweh shall arise upon thee, and his glory shall be seen upon thee." How? Because we're going to keep his commandments. We don't add to, we don't take from. And he shall arise upon thee. Like, is that it? When we keep his commandments, that light overcomes the darkness. It says the land is full of darkness. The people, gross darkness, fat darkness, great darkness. But Yahweh arises like a light on us. He shines upon us. He drives that darkness away. Jeremiah chapter 13, verses 15 through 17. It reads, Jeremiah 13:15. It reads, "Hear ye and give ear. Be not proud, for Yahweh has spoken. Give glory to Yahweh, your mighty one, before he causes darkness, and before your feet stumble upon the dark mountains. And while you look for light, he turn it into the shadow of death, and make it gross darkness. For if you will not hear it, my soul shall weep in secret places for your pride, and my eyes shall weep sore and run down with tears, because Yahweh's flock is carried away captive." So what happens when we decide to stay in darkness and don't allow that light to shine? We get carried away captive, just like Eve. She got carried away captive. She was not a prisoner before the deception came. She was in harmony with the Most High. She was free. But because Satan beguiled her, now she's a prisoner. And so are we. When we do not keep those commandments, when we add to the commandments, when we take away from the commandments, we stay captives. We stay in the darkness. Yahweh wants to arise in us. He wants to break forth. Let's go back to Isaiah 60, right? Isaiah 60:2, right? It says, "For behold, the darkness shall cover the earth, and gross darkness the people. But Yahweh shall arise upon thee, and his glory shall be seen." And this word arise, right? In Isaiah 60:2, this word number in the Hebrew, number 2224, this word is zarak, and it means to shoot beams from, to break forth, to appear. So it's like the darkness is trying to hold this back, but the beams is coming out of it to irradiate, it says, right? So the darkness is trying to hold this light back, but it can't. The beams are shooting out through the darkness. And this is how Yahweh is going to be with his people. He's going to blast that darkness off of us little by little. As we keep the commands, we inch, we take baby steps to him. We take the baby steps until we get strong enough to take a full step. And then we get stronger, we can hop. Then we can run. It's like that. We progress towards him. No. Everybody's looking to go leaps and bounds. But it's not like that. It's not like that with anything in this world. You know? But that's how Yahweh is. He's going to break forth. He's going to bring this darkness off of us. He's going to get it off of us. Right? The book of Colossians, chapter 11. Oops. Book of Colossians, chapter 11, verse 1. Wait, that ain't right. Colossians don't have 11 chapters. Okay. Sorry, fam. That was definitely not right. Corinthians, sorry. 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 1. And it reads, "Be ye followers of me, even also as I am of Messiah." And this is Paul writing. So, again, the illustration. It's snowing outside. Messiah's making this path. He got the footsteps in the snow. Paul are in the exact same footsteps as Messiah. We should be in the exact same footsteps as Paul. That's how we're supposed to be doing. Don't go off and try to make your own path. Go for the path that was made for you through Messiah. Go with that path. Please don't go off and try to do your own thing. We didn't read, nothing good happens when we try to go out and do our own thing. We can't even, the words say, how can he preach lest he be sent? We can't even talk about this word unless Yahweh says it's okay to talk about this word, unless he prepares you to talk about this word. Don't even take it upon yourself to talk about this word. You know? So again, let's not add to, let's not take away from the word. Okay? So now the question comes up, well, what about Revelation? You know, because revelation comes and sometimes this is this, that, and another. And isn't that just, you know, let's look at what it talks about with revelation. All right. 1 Corinthians chapter 2, 9 and 10. All right. It reads, "But as it is written, I have not seen, nor ear heard, neither has it entered into the heart of man, the things which Elohim has prepared for them that love them. But Elohim has revealed them unto us by his Spirit. For the Spirit searcheth all things, yea, the deep things of Elohim." So there are some things that Yahweh is going to reveal to us that we haven't seen physically, we haven't heard physically, and we ain't even thought about. When it says, I have not seen, it has not heard, neither has it entered into the heart or the mind of man. Yahweh is going to reveal things that are just beyond us, for lack of a better term. So is he adding to the word or taking away from the word? Well, let's see another guideline as far as that goes. Isaiah 8:20. Isaiah 8:20 reads, to the law and to the testimony, if they speak not according to this word, it's because there is no light in them. So, you think you got a revelation? Line it up. You think Yahweh's speaking to you? Line it up. Because we read in another place how there's a whole bunch of seducing spirits out in the world nowadays. Doctrines of demons is going out at this time. So it has to, revelation has to line up with this word. It has to. Because that's what he's revealing to you. He's revealing his word to you. He's uncovering his word to you. And it's not going to take you down a path that isn't in a line with Yahushua. It's not going to lead you astray. It's not going to veer you off course. But what it is going to do is, let me find this one. Isaiah 28:9-10. Whom shall he teach knowledge? And whom shall he make to understand doctrine? Them that are weaned from the milk and drawn from the breast. For precept must be upon precept, precept upon precept, line upon line, line upon line. Here a little, and there a little. Are he talking about precepts outside of the word? Like, okay, the sun, the word says the sun has its course, right? It comes out of its chamber, has its course, right? The world says the earth goes around the sun doesn't move. So do we combine the two, or do we believe what Yahweh say? Who we go with? Because if the world ain't matching up with what Yahweh say, false. Don't believe it. It's one of those seducing spirits. Within this word, they have to speak according to this word. So when you line up the precepts upon the precepts, they are according to this word. When you line up the lines upon the lines, it's according to this word. So when the revelation comes, that's how you line it up to make sure that you are in line with Yahweh, that single-mindedness, and that you're not being led astray. As my brother say, that's your fail-safe. The word is our fail-safe in all our endeavors, no matter what it is we do. Right? Luke 16, 29 through 31. And it reads, matter of fact, let's read the whole scenario. Luke 16, starting at verse 19, right? And it reads, there was a certain rich man which was clothed in purple and fine linen and fed sumptuously every day. He lived good every day. And there was a certain beggar named Eleazar, which was laid at his gate full of sores, and desiring to be fed with the crumbs which fell from the rich man's table. Moreover, the dog came and licked his sores. And it came to pass that the beggar died and was carried by the angels into Abraham's bosom. The rich man also died and was buried. And in Sheol, and in hell, he lifted up his eyes, being in torments, and seeth Abraham afar off, and Lazarus in his bosom. And he cried and said, Father Abraham, have mercy on me, and send Lazarus that he may dip. So send Eleazar that he may dip the tip of his finger in water and cool my tongue, for I am tormented in this flame. But think about it. You know exactly who this man was. Exactly who he was. You saw him. You passed him in your goings about. He says, I'm tormented in this flame. But Abraham said, son, remember that you in your lifetime received your good things, and likewise, Eleazar, evil things. But now he is comforted, and you are tormented, because in life, you are a rich man. You live good every day. You could have helped him. That's all he wanted was the crumbs from your table. You could have gave him a piece of bread. You could have had some mercy on him. You could have, but you decided not to, because you was living good. You was living well every day and could not be concerned with your brother. He says, and besides all this, verse 26, and besides all this, between us and you, there is a great gulf fixed, so that they which could pass from here to you cannot. Neither can they pass to us from where you're at. So somebody might want to have mercy on you, but they can't get to you no way. And I made it like that. Then he said, I pray thee, therefore, Father, that thou wouldest send him to my father's house. For I have five brethren, that he may testify unto them, lest they also come into this place of torment. And what was the answer? Abraham said unto him, they have Moses and the prophets, let them hear them, period. They got Moses and the prophets. If you're not listening to Moshe and the prophets, if you're not listening to the law and to the testimony, that's it. You're going to be led astray, and you're going to end up in the place where the rich man is. Because in the law and the testimony, you're not supposed to have your brothers destitute like that. The rich were supposed to take care of the poor. They were supposed to have the edges of their vineyards and the edges of their wheat fields or whatever they own was supposed to be for the poor. But you didn't do that. You didn't listen to Moses and the prophets. You live well every day. And where did you end up? You reaped a reward that this was your reward. You live well in this lifetime and watch the torment of others. Now, the role is reversed. But he says, Abraham said unto him, they have Moshe and the prophets, let them hear. Let them hear them. And he said, no, Father Abraham, but if one from them from the dead, but if one went unto them from the dead, they will repent. And he said unto them, if they hear not Moshe and the prophets, neither will they be persuaded, though one come from the dead. At the end of the day, if you don't hear Moshe and the prophets, it don't matter who say what. At the end of the day, there is no persuasion in that. If you're not listening to Moshe and the prophets, send who you want. Yahushua came back speaking Moshe and the prophets. You have to be persuaded. It has to be to that law, has to be to the testimony. Have to. If not, there's no light in them. So again, fam, no adding to the word, no taking away from the word. So our minds will not be corrupted and will stay on that single path, which is Yahweh. Right? Any questions or comments? If you do, text them. All right, I don't see nothing. All right. Something came through. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. All right, brothers and sisters, that ends this tour portion. Which is really weird. It's the first time I've done this in a while. You know, over the phone. You know. All right, I'm going to close on out. Blessed are you, Yahweh, King of the universe, Rock of all eternities, righteous in all generations, the trustworthy mighty one, who says and does, who speaks and fulfills, all of whose words are true and righteous. Trustworthy are you, Yahweh, our mighty one, and trustworthy are your words. Now one of your words is turned back to its origin unfulfilled, for you are mighty one, trustworthy and compassionate King. Blessed are you, Yahweh, the mighty one, who is trustworthy in all his words. Amen. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Abiyah, in the name of thy Son, Yahushua HaMashiach, our Savior, our Redeemer, our soon coming King, Father. Once again, thank you for the breath of life. Thank you for the Shabbat day. Father, thank you for your word, Father. Thank you for your patience, your kindness, your love, your understanding, Father. Father, we ask that you open up our brother Shabbat's heart. In his mind, Father, that you fill him up with your word, Father, that he may dispense it to us, Father. Let him say and do what is pleasing to you, Father. Help him edify us, Father, through your spirit. Grow your children, grow your sons, grow your daughters into the men and women that you desire, Father. Father, bless Bet Yahweh. Bless Yisrael, Father. Bless all those who you've claimed, Father. All those who have the desire to know you, Father. Allow us to come closer. Allow us to seek you in these hard times, Father. Strengthen our faith. Strengthen our resolve, Father. Strengthen our fortitude, Father. Allow us to lean on one another, Father. Don't let any obstacles get between us. Don't let our pride rise up, Father. If we need help, let us cry out to you, Father. We know you will hear us, Father. You will answer us, Father. These times is rough, and it's not going to get any easier. But it don't make a difference, Father, because we got you. Allow us, Father, just continue to keep one another in prayer constantly, Father. Keep our minds on you. Keep our hearts dedicated to you, Father. With you, all things are possible. There's nothing too hard for Yahweh. We just thank you and give you praise, Father. Hallelujah. 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 Amen.
Matovu, matovu. Matovu, matovu.